We are continuing our chronological study of the New Testament. We were in Acts for a little bit, but now we are in 1 Corinthians, which is a long book, 16 chapters, so we're going to be here for a while before we go back to Acts. That's fine. What else are we going to do? Go home? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 to 3 and have an introduction to the book. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Practically all letters in the ancient world, in the Greco-Roman world, begin with a threefold greeting. Starts with who wrote the letter, unlike how we do it today. It was much more efficient back then. You start and you see who wrote the letter. Now you've got to go to the end of the letter to see who wrote it and go back to the beginning. So we begin with the name of who wrote the letter. To, second part, to who the letter is addressed to. And thirdly, there is some kind of blessing or greeting. Now, Paul's letters also follow this standard form, and so the first word that we find in our text is Paul, which means that he is the writer of this letter. And in verse 2, we see that it is written to the church of God, which is in Corinth. So, what is the relationship between the Apostle Paul and the church in Corinth? Today, what I want to do is the goal is not to do a history lesson, but it's going to be a lot of history. I want to give you the historical background of these two parties between the Apostle Paul and the church in Corinth. And I think it's important so that we can lay a foundation for the letter so that we will understand more of the things that we read about as we go through the book. All right, so that's basically what we're going to be doing today. The Apostle Paul, whose home church was way over, it's not on my map, way over in Antioch of Syria, went on what we ordinarily call his second missionary journey together with Silas and Timothy. Well, he met Timothy along the way, but he takes Timothy also. And they go on this second missionary journey, which is basically Greece. Now, first he went to Philippi, where he was beaten, thrown into jail, kicked out of town. He went to Thessalonica, stayed for a little while, was also chased out of town, went to Berea, again was chased out of town, came down to Athens by himself. This is going to be important. Came down to Athens by himself, Silas and Timothy remaining up in Macedonia. Came down to Athens by himself, spoke to the Athenians, was laughed at, left, went to Corinth, again, by himself. So he's in Corinth, alone, wants to start a church, wants to preach the gospel and start a church. What does he do? Where does he go? Goes to the synagogue, because you got people there who have the Bible. You have people there who are religious, who may be interested to hear about the Messiah. And so he starts reasoning with the Jews in the synagogue in Corinth, telling them that Jesus is the Messiah. Now, he doesn't have any money at this point. So he starts working as a tent maker or leather worker. And lo and behold, he meets a couple in Corinth, married couple, Priscilla and Aquila, who are also tent makers, and they can all work together. But what's even better than that, it seems that these people are already, when he meets them, it seems, Christians. I don't think they became Christians after they met him. It seems that they were already Christians. These people had lived in Rome, but the emperor had kicked out all the Jews from Rome. They were of Jewish descent. And so they had moved to Corinth. And so they're Jews who have become Christians, who are living in Corinth. They're tent makers. Same thing as Paul. And so altogether, they are working, and they are altogether going to the synagogue and speaking with the Jews there. Now, so Paul is in Corinth. He's with Priscilla and Aquila. He's working as a tent maker. And he's going to the synagogue, telling them about Christ. This is all going on around 50 AD, the year 50 AD. Soon after that, this is all pieces put together. It's not just in Acts, all right? These are things that you find from all his letters. Soon after that, it seems that Silas and Timothy come down to Corinth and they find him there. And it seems that they brought him some money, some kind of support from the churches, perhaps in Thessalonica and Philippi. And so now this frees him up for more time to be able to preach instead of working as a tent maker all the time. And so he's preaching more now, and of course this amps up the opposition also, mainly by the Jews. And so he's not allowed to speak in the synagogue anymore. He's been trying to get to them, and he's been trying to speak to them in the synagogue. Now he's kicked out of the synagogue. They won't have him. So he's out of the synagogue. Where is he going to go now? Well, there's this guy whose name was Justus. Not Justus, finishing with an I-C-E at the end. Justus with a U-S at the end. Justus, who says, I have a problem. You can stay at my house and you can preach from there if you want. And this guy's house is right next to the synagogue. Like, I mean literally attached to the synagogue. So he's like, okay, they want me here. I'm going to go next door. And so now, at least three Christians and Justus, I don't know if he's a Christian, but he's interested. Before people, they start the church in Corinth. And it's around this point that Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus, appears to Paul in the vision and says, don't worry. Don't worry about the Jews next door who are trying to get you. Just keep on preaching, for I have many people in this city. So keep preaching the gospel. And he does, and so begins a fruitful ministry in the city of Corinth, where many Greeks, pagans, get converted, and even some Jews, and even the synagogue ruler named Crispus and his family, so the pastor of the synagogue next door, says, wow, this guy's got to be serious about it, and becomes a Christian. All right, so the church is slowly growing in Corinth, right next to the synagogue. All right, so Paul stays in Corinth for about a year and a half, which is, up until that point, was the longest that he stayed anywhere during his missionary journeys. He stays in Corinth for a year and a half and establishes the church. So that's how the church in Corinth begins. Okay? Now, after the year and a half, he wants to go back, visit his church back in Antioch in Syria, tell them what's been going on. So he leaves Corinth. He has a layover in Ephesus, and Priscilla and Aquila go with him, and they stay in Ephesus while he leaves and heads on off to Syria. While he is off in Syria, Priscilla and Aquila are in Ephesus, and they meet a gentleman who is named Apollos. He's going to be important in 1 Corinthians. Apollos was a man who knew the scriptures well, the Old Testament scriptures, but he needed some help. And so Priscilla and Aquila explained to him better the way of the Lord, explained to him how the scriptures all are about Christ, and Apollos becomes this amazing preacher of the gospel. And so they say, you know, there's no big, huge guy to preach back in Corinth. Why don't you go? So he goes. So Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus, Apollos comes to Corinth, and he helps the church there a lot. So Apollos is the guy now in Corinth, while Paul is still in Syria. Soon after this, Paul begins what is called his third missionary journey, where he leaves Syria and he goes back to Ephesus and meets up with Priscilla and Aquila and begins an enormously fruitful ministry, which we read about last week, in Ephesus, And now he stayed for 2.5, 3 years in Ephesus. Now we're talking the years about 52 to 55 AD. So where are we right now? Paul is ministering in Ephesus. Apollos is ministering in Corinth. It's also possible that at some point while Paul is in Ephesus, it's also possible that Peter showed up and taught there a bit also, but we're not 100% sure about that one. Possibly. Now, while Paul is in Ephesus, he gets some bad news, some disturbing news about the church in Corinth. Now, we don't know how he got this news. We don't know if someone sent him a letter. We don't know if someone came from Corinth. It's possible even that Apollos told him, because we know that at some point, while Paul is in Ephesus for those 2.5, 3 years, Apollos goes back. And that's when they first meet. All right? And so it's possible that Apollos comes back and he says, we got some problems back in Corinth. Now, at this point, Paul decides to write them a letter to try and deal with some of these issues. That letter is not 1 Corinthians. You thought I was going there. This letter is not 1 Corinthians. He wrote them a letter which we do not have. It's not part of Scripture. Right? We don't have it. In which we know he tried to deal with these problems. And oftentimes when you try to help people and try to tell them how to fix their problems, they may get offended, they don't like it, they don't like you telling them what to do, and so apparently this first letter that he sent didn't necessarily go off that well. Soon after that, he's still in Ephesus now. And he knows his problems, and they got a letter from him, but they don't like it too much. Soon after that, he gets some news from Corinth. Again, this time we know it says from Chloe's household. We don't know who Chloe was. Someone in Corinth probably. Some people from the household go to Ephesus and they say, there's problems in Corinth. He's like, yeah, I know there were problems. There's more problems now. Now what's going on is there are factions starting within the church. There are people breaking off and splitting because they're like, well, we like Paul and we're going to belong to Paul. And we like Apollos and we're going to belong to Apollos. And we like whoever. And they're breaking up. So Paul's like, all right, this is a problem. He doesn't do anything yet. He's thinking about how to deal with this. Soon after that, three guys from Corinth, we have their names, I don't remember them right now. He talks about them in 1 Corinthians. Three guys from Corinth show up with a letter from the church in Corinth. And they say to Paul, we have some questions, Paul, concerning those things that you've talked about. We need some clarifications, Paul, on some things that you were talking about. And so Paul decides to write a letter. Actually, he wants to send Apollos back. He wants to send Apollos back to try and straighten him out, and Apollos doesn't want to go. Doesn't say why he didn't want to go, but there's indications on why he didn't want to go, because it's a bit of a mess and he doesn't want to go there anymore. All right? At the end of 1 Corinthians, he says, I urged Apollos strongly to come to you, and he politely declined. So Apollos doesn't want to go. So Paul has to write a second letter now, which is 1 Corinthians. Okay? So Paul writes this letter around 55 AD from Ephesus. He writes a letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, in which he has to deal with the questions that they sent him, and he has to deal with all the problems that have occurred in this church that he has heard. Now sometimes I think we tend to romanticize the ancient church and think, oh, if only we lived back then, where everything was pure and the doctrine was pure and clean and holy and everything was wonderful. If only we could go back to the good old days. Well, this is what we're going to, based on what we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians over the next few months, this church is extremely immature, and the problems are not little problems. These are huge problems. Big problems that we're going to have to deal with. And this is not the only church that was like that. In fact, if you read Book of Revelation, then you have the seven messages to the churches. Most of what Jesus has to say to them is not complimentary. All right? There were a lot of problems in the ancient church, both practical problems and doctrinal problems. Now, you may ask, why was the church in Corinth in such a mess? Because it was. It was perhaps the worst church that we read about in the New Testament. There's also Laodicea in Revelation, but we don't know that much about that one. Why was it in such a mess? In part, it may have to do with its location. What do you mean by that, Nico? I'll tell you. There's a reason I have the map here. Corinth is situated right on this little strip of land which connects the northern part of Greece with the southern part of Greece. All right? Anyone who wants to go from north to south, or anyone who goes from south to the north of Greece or up into the Balkans, have to go through Corinth. That's number one. Number two, going from west to east. Boats that were leaving Rome, Italy, or anywhere else in the Adriatic, and they want to head on towards Asia, would much rather not go from around the southern part of Greece. There was a reason for that. This area down here was very dangerous. This is the same, a lot of shipwrecks down there. This was the same place where Paul gets into the enormous storm that kept for a couple of weeks at the end of Acts 27. He was in Crete, and he's heading off this way to go towards Rome, and this is where it got him. All right? There was an ancient saying that if you're going to sail down by the coast of Greece, make your will first. Okay? It was a dangerous place. So anyone going this way or this way with a boat would much rather go through this gulf here. There were two ports in Corinth, one on one side and one on the other. All right, so they would come and they would unload their stuff, take it across, and then load it on a different boat and head on rather than go that way. It was quicker and more safe. Sometimes if it was a little boat, they'd just pull it out and drag it across, right? So what you have here, why are you telling us this, Nico? Well, what you have is all roads led through Corinth. Whether you're going north or south, east or west, they're going through Corinth. So this is a place for business, for trade. Everyone wants to be in Corinth. All right? It's a rich city, metropolitan city, multicultural city. You got all kinds of stuff going. That's the capital of Achaia, which was the southern part of Greece at that point. Five times the size of Athens. It was massive at that time. Besides this, you have all, because it's such a place where everyone is going through there, they have all kinds of other events and things going on there. Like, for example, they have something that's called the Isthmian Games, which was an athletic event, second only to the Olympics. All right? So you got athletes going through there. You got sailors going through there. You got businessmen going through there. You got travelers all the time. Because it's so multicultural, you got every religion under the sun. You got every temple to every pagan god in the world. Keeping all that in mind, let's just say Corinth was not the most moral place in the world. Corinth was kind of like the entertainment capital of the ancient world, kind of like the Las Vegas, all right? That's the place that the church in Corinth starts. And so, something that we see through the letter is that they're allowing their culture to determine how they're going to live, what they're going to do. Which is the same thing too many Christians or people do today. Instead of allowing the Bible to determine how you should live, what is right, what is wrong, they let, what is the culture? We can't say We believe in creation and not evolution, they'll think we're idiots. We'll think we're anti-science. They'll think we're dinosaurs. We can't talk about stuff like that. We can't say that homosexuality is a sin. We can't say that the husband is the head of his wife. They'll think we're ignorant. We can't live in a society like that. So let's just kind of go with the flow. And Paul has to say to them, I don't care what your society is doing. I don't care if your friends and your family members are going and sacrificing to Aphrodite and to Apollo and to all these other gods. I don't care. Cut it off. Stop it. You're not doing that. I don't care what your friends and family think is the normal way of doing things. This is the Word of God. That's one of the major problems in Corinth. Also, because it's such a so many business people going through there and making new businesses there all the time. All this trade going on in Corinth. It was, you know, if you wanted to make money, try and go to Corinth and start a business there, because there's so many people going through there. And so we know that one of the main attitudes of the people in Corinth was try to get ahead. Try and get more power. Try and get more prestige. Try and get more popularity. It's about being at the top. And you have this mindset now going into the people who are in the church. They probably already had this attitude when they became Christians. And you have Paul, who is trying to make a community which has love for one another, selflessness, putting other people first before yourself. You know, trying to talk about how we are all important in the church, how, you know, all these things. And so he's having a lot of trouble trying to set these people straight. Unlike any other letter, unlike most of the other letters of Paul, he usually will write a letter with one main thing in mind. Like if you read Galatians, it's one thing. One thing. He just beats it to death for 6 chapters and that's it. One thing. Corinthians is different. Corinthians, he deals with so many different things. He's just moving from one thing to the other, again and again and again. He'll finish something and he'll say, okay, concerning this now. And you'll go off on that. All right, done with that? Concerning your question there, let's deal with that. So we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff as we go through this book. And let me just say, a lot of it is going to be controversial. And a lot of it is going to... Let me give you a quick list of some of the things that we're going to be talking about as we go through 1 Corinthians. Divisions in the church. Church discipline. Immorality in the church. Marriage, divorce, remarriage. The place of a man and a woman in the family, in the church. Head coverings. Paying the preacher. The Lord's Supper. Spiritual gifts. Speaking in tongues. Prophecy. Baptism for the dead. That's in there too. Eschatology. Oh man. It's going to be very interesting. I'm excited. And the two of you that will remain by the end of all this, you're going to learn some serious theology. All right? That's where we have to look ahead. Now, let me just close with this. Even though the church in Corinth was the worst church that we have, there's still a church. He addresses them as the church of God, which is in Corinth. They were a messed up church, but they were still a church. And yet Paul, you know, doesn't just write them off. If you visited a church, we have visitors today, if you showed up today, and we were having communion, and there were people getting drunk while we were having communion, if you knew that there was insane, scandalous immorality going on that we all know about, no one is doing anything about it. If you knew that I'm suing this guy and suing that guy, you would never set foot in here again. And neither, none of us would. We would never come back here again. But Paul doesn't just say, that's a lost cause. Forget about them. I'm not dealing with that. No. He says, all right, we've got to fix this. And so he's going to continue to teach. It's a long letter. And he's going to try and fix these problems. And my hope is that as we study this letter, we will learn what a church should be like. Because this is what it is. It's a church. It's a group of people who should be getting along, who should be worshiping correctly, who should be loving one another, who should be doing things the way that Christians should be doing it, and they're not. And so Paul is telling us what a church should be like. What should a church believe? How should a church act? How should the church members deal with one another? That is what we're going to be learning. And my hope is that it's not just going to be information that, okay, we know what it says in 1 Corinthians, but that this will affect us so that we are a better church. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray.